Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are we eating that later?
We have to have it for the second service.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll stick around for that then, too. I didn't know you were serving cake. There are things in this world I just simply do not understand. Some things I don't understand just because I'm a little daft. I'm not really that smart to be able to kind of comprehend them. For instance, I can't comprehend how people can speak more than one language. I can barely speak English. I've taken French, I've taken German, I studied Croatian. Nothing sticks. It's a sad commentary. But there are other things I don't understand, not necessarily because I am not intellectually gifted enough to be able to cope with figuring it all out, but rather because there are personal biases or prejudices involved. And I refuse then to be able to understand them. The one I can think of is Starbucks. I don't get it. You have coffee that to me is extremely bitter. You have sizes. What in the world is wrong with small, medium, large, extra large? What is a venti anyway? That sounds like something that's being blown out of a vent somewhere. And they're everywhere. So obviously I'm not the person who really has a good understanding or appreciation of something that has become a worldwide phenomenon. In New York City, excuse me, I have to get a drink of water. In New York City, there's a street corner. On the street corner, there are three Starbucks on three out of the four corners. But you say, wow, that's a lot. But go down North Scottsdale Road, the little Summit Shopping Center. There's three there, too. How much bad coffee can this country drink? And then the language. So we're back to language now. If you're ordering a coffee, you're okay. You can point to the cup size if you don't know what Venti Grande or what's the other one? Hall. Yeah. But there's that other whole language about when you want to put stuff into it. I've heard people speak and it sounds like they're speaking in tongues going off about we didn't have to do it a lot of potty potting of milk a half nut a cow or something like that. And they go off on these things just to be able to get a cup of coffee. But they are successful. Because they are everywhere. But there is one corporation that smokes them. But you'll find more of these than any other Starbucks you'll ever encounter. The church figured it out. It's the church. They're everywhere. We're like fleas on a dog. You can't get rid of us. Everywhere you go, there is a church. You go down Pima and you'll find more churches than you can ever imagine if you start counting them. But because they've been there for so long, we kind of take it all for granted. This day is the celebration of the birth of the church. But I think it's less of the birth of a church and more of the church's IPO. Don't you think? The church was already in business. Jesus, the disciples, all the other people following along. But suddenly now there's a change in leadership that takes place. Jesus is no longer running the ship. He's abroad. And now there's this restructuring that takes place. And now it becomes something that isn't just for a select group. The church now is offered to everyone. That's kind of the point of the language thing. That it wasn't just there for the Jewish people. It was there for everybody. People across the world speaking different languages. And that's part of the reason, I think, why the disciples were ordered to stay in Jerusalem for that 50-day period. For this moment. For this moment where they began to understand a little bit more about what their role was going to be. At that moment when they understood a little bit more about what God intended the church to be to the world. It was a promotion for these guys. They went from casual visitors to middle management. They're in charge now. They're the ones in charge of leading and guiding. They're the ones in charge of marketing. They're the ones in charge of public relations. They're the ones in charge of selling the product. They're the ones in charge of everything to be able to proclaim the gospel message. And now to be able to proclaim it across the world through a variety of different languages. This was their IPO. This was that public offering that was brought out to the world. It wasn't just simply a birthday. It was a reorganization that took place, allowing the apostles to be able to stand forth and proclaim the gospel message in ways they could not have possibly imagined. Like every good company, every good church, there are mission statements. I couldn't believe I couldn't come up with that word. Because they are the guiding principles of what goes on with the organization. It's not just churches that have them, corporations have them too, to be able to help people understand exactly what the purpose and the role of the organization is within the society in which they work. And so we have this understanding of who we're supposed to be through mission statements. Living Water has one. You can read it in Connections if you'd like. I'm not going to quote it to you. But what is the church's mission statement? What would the mission statement of the church be? If the church is going to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ, what is that message? Well, I guess we have to go to the original CEO, don't we? And what was the thing that the original CEO spoke about, said was the most important thing that we do? Love. It is about love. I've never inherited anything in my entire life, but I got this from Vern Reamer. And this is the crux of who we are and what we do. It is about love. The greatest commandment of all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Everybody's your neighbor. Every person you encounter in every place and every situation, people you don't even know, they're all your neighbor. Which puts us in a bit of a quandary, doesn't it? Because there are people we don't like. You can admit it, because it's true. There are people that we do not like, and yet we are called to love them. We are called to provide for them. We are called to care for them. We are called to do what is ever necessary to see that these individuals have the same rights that we have, that have the same life that we have, that have the same opportunities that we have. This isn't about the United States. This is about Christendom and what God calls us to do through Jesus Christ, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So, if you expect that you're going to be treated in a certain manner, if you expect to have certain inalienable rights, if you expect to be able to have certain things within the world, then you place that same expectation with your neighbor, each and every one of them. And this is where we come to the idea and the understanding of what it takes to make that happen. It's about sacrifice. It's about sacrificing ourselves for the sake of others. It is about putting ourselves in second place to be able to serve the needs of others. If you have a question about it, you can talk to the guy who was hanging on a cross, who gave it all for the sake of people he knew and for the sake of people he never met. Because that is what love is. Love is about the giving of ourselves for the sake of others. Love is about us understanding that we have something to return to the world. Love is not about us saying, this is what I deserve, but it is about saying, this is what he or she deserves. And so our call is to live our lives reaching out to the world in love, doing those things that we've been called to do, making sure that everybody has the same rights that we have, are treated in the same manner that we would like to be treated, that are cared for in the same way that we would like others to care for ourselves. And it's not easy, but it's what we're called to do. We were never promised that this was going to be an easy, self-fulfilling experience. Rather, we were told that this is the experience of our lives, to live and give for others, to care for the world around us as we have been cared for, and to love them all. Because in the end, we love them all, and we let God sort it out. Amen.